Hello, guys. You probably think, what is this girl in this very proper suit doing on stage before DJ Van comes on stage? Well, so I'm going to tell you a story that I call The Marketeer and the Musician, because to me, it's a fairy tale that ended beautifully for both parties. 12 years ago, when I was five, I'm joking, I wasn't five, when I was in Morocco, had in marketing for PepsiCo, for Morocco and Algeria, the story is Morocco relevant only, I was presented with one of the biggest challenges of my career. I came out of this marketing role in Procter & Gamble, what I would call safe house Procter & Gamble, and I got this poisoned gift of being the marketing manager for PepsiCo in Morocco, 5% market share. The giant competitor Coca-Cola was basking in glory with 80% market share. And I was this girl, fairly young, and they told me, we've been stuck at 5% market share for years, fix it. And I was like, perfect. And then I couldn't complain really, because PepsiCo globally was very strong, Middle East was huge. We had fantastic partnerships on two key platforms, music and football. We had the likes of Ronaldo, Messi, everybody that you can think of associated with the brand. And we had all kinds of fantastic celebrities from Amr Diab, and I'm not going to go through the list because he was great. Then here is the brave moment. I come and I'm like, football is fine, but music, sorry, it's not relevant for me. They're like, hey, we're talking about Amr Diab, Elissa, this. Are you crazy? And who are you to talk like this? You're like, your market is 5% market share. You're a drop in the ocean. I said, well, I thought that you brought me here to change things. So I can't potentially do that if you don't acknowledge the differences of culture and the fact that Morocco is not the Middle East. If you don't want me to do that, I'm happy to just find another job. They're like, okay, calm down. What do you want? I said, I just want to hire people that I think from the music industry resonate with my people, where I come from. And then they said, yeah, but we don't believe you. I mean, everybody that we sign in the region is relevant. I'm like, okay, give me 2 months. I'll prove you wrong. So I took my agency with me at the time, Impact BBDO, in a tour in Morocco and Algeria, touring clubs, going to places, meeting people, going to universities, sneaking into universities, spending the day with consumers, going to in-home visits, focus groups, in-depth interviews, everything you can think of, just to prove my point. I would sit in an in-home visit, I would look at the 17-year-old male who is the bullseye of the Pepsi drinker, and I would like, do you know Amr Diab? And he's like, who is Amr Diab? And I look at the agency, I'm like, you know, got the point? And then, of course, it went on and on for me searching who is the music talent. I had no clue. I had lived in the US for a couple of years. I came back a bit disconnected. But I was always tuning on to the local radio. And there is this sound that I heard every day that just killed me. I was like, who is the genius who makes this music? This is crazy. Underground Moroccan music, new scene rap. I know I don't dress the part. You think I don't like rap? No, I do. So don't underestimate me. And I started digging. Who are these people? It was a group of rappers. Who are these people? Where can I find them? It wasn't easy, because they were underground. So to my great surprise, they were in the city of Marrakesh, where my parents are from, so there was a huge sense of pride associated with that. So I went digging them out, and I traveled to Marrakesh to meet the band. I met them. I've been in love since then. So you would ask me what happened to the market share. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened. In less than 18 months, PepsiCo in Morocco moved more than double market share. In less than 18 months. It was amazing for them. It earned me a promotion, landed in Dubai. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm speaking here today, because I've been in Dubai for the last 11 years. But I left these musicians behind. And I actually got out of touch a little bit. So they spoiled my introduction by saying who the speaker is, because I was going to ask you, guess what happened to the guy who was making the sound? And here is my greatest surprise. I was with some friends in PepsiCo like 5 years ago. We were talking about this very, 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 very popular Arabic song that was traveling the world. And they said,
let us show you he's Moroccan, this and that. And then I look and I see him. I'm like, what? Is this him? I can't believe it. I felt like he was my son. And I was like, I just, such a huge sense of pride. So what happened over the last 12 years is that the creator of that sound that I was hearing on the radio, that I fought my entire system to work with back then in Morocco to grow the market share of one of the biggest brands, is now the most awarded artist in Africa, the one who creates the most unbelievable sounds. And I wouldn't go any further because I want you to hear the sounds. DJ Van, can you please play the music?
This is Marrakesh.
Come on stage, DJ Van. So, I mean, it's music. We really just want to play the music and dance here. But we have to make it more formal because it's the marketing society. So, but happy to do the music afterwards. So, Khalil, my friend, can you, I spoke about how we met. Can you now tell everybody in the crowd, without indicating my age, please, what happened over the last 12 years after I left Morocco and I left you with Group Fnair?
A lot of things happened, actually. Hi, guys. I'm happy to be here and talk about my experience. My English is a little bit, my vocabulary is a little bit, you know, bad. I had to say that. So a lot of things happened because I left Fnair, the group, and I start working in my own project with different artists. Leaving the group, I worked on a soundtrack for a movie. I worked for two albums that went huge in Morocco, a rap album and a fusion album. And after that, I never worked with a pop Arab music artist before. And Saad Al-Mujarrad came to me and asked me to produce a song for him. And I said to him, you know, it's been 30 years that Egyptians and Lebanese and Khaliji music is in our market. So let's do the opposite. Let's go there and let's try to go there and show them what we can do with our own music and our lyrics. So we did Inti, and it went to huge all over MENA region and in Asia and all over the world. And we were nominated for MTV Music Award. And that was the first time that a Moroccan was nominated. We won two awards in Morocco, and it was just a big success. We didn't expect it, but it was a strategy behind it.
Tell us a little bit more about this strategy, because what Khalil is saying right now is that putting Morocco on the charts of music that is beyond vocalists, Morocco has always been known to be just producer of vocalists, but not for musicians that have huge scale. Putting that thing on the map and also making a DJ famous in Morocco. Don't be too humble. Just tell them about what you've achieved. Tell us a little bit more about how did you get to create that sound and why was that sound so popular?
Well, there is a lot of ingredients. It's a 6-8 beat. It's a 6-8 groove, which is popular in Africa, in Asia, in Arab, in Khaliji world. So I did a 6-8 beat with the urban sound. They are not used to that. It's a big sound, a club sound, with the catchy melodies, with the Moroccan. Moroccan Arabic language, which was hard for Arabic world to understand, but we did it in a way simple so they can understand. We choose the right word so they can understand. We put some ad-libs, Khaliji ad-libs, and did the strategy was to promote it. The strategy was I create just a silly dance that you guys see in YouTube, so people can and did. Dance on it, and we put a couple of videos on YouTube and we share it with influencers and it start from there.
Amazing, absolutely. So in addition, we don't want to just focus on that first song because it was definitely like what brought you out to life and made you famous, and people could recognize it because it existed before you, but it was very different when your music came along. Can you tell us about, let's take a flashback even before we met. Tell us a little bit about the challenges and what were those decisions that you made that you told me about when we were having dinner that would explain how strong-willed you are and how brave you are in order for you to pursue your dream in music.
Well, I come from a poor environment. I come from Marrakesh, the old city, the Medina. So, you know, it's a poor neighborhood. You know, the first thing I did when I was in high school, I dropped school for music in a country where there is no music industry, there is no believing artist or... I mean, all the old artists that we had, they all had like bad experiences, and we heard bad rumors about them. So for my parents, I'm a failure. So I dropped school, I concentrate on music, and start teaching myself. I'm a self-taught person. We don't have music schools, we don't have a lot of stuff, we don't have equipments, we don't have tools. So I have to figure out how to do all that, to do all that or create all that. So yeah, the dropping school, I think I didn't know at that time it was a brave step to take, but I did it. After that, when I invested money in the market where there is no music industry, so I invested in other artists, in myself, for equipment, studio, and promotion, and a lot of things. And my friends or other artists, they just think that I'm crazy. They always tell me, you should buy a land, you should do this, you should do business that, you know, makes your money back. But I always believed in my vision, if I can say, or because I set some goals in my life. So I said I'm gonna do my best to achieve those goals, which is being one of the best DJ in our country, and then being the best DJ in Africa, and here we are.
So how can someone as shy and introvert as Van be so crazy when it comes to mixing? I want to hear about that a little bit.
Well, that's my zone, if I can say. That's how I express myself. I'm an introvert, shy person. But in studio or on stage, I'm another person. I'm Van. I'm not Khalil. That's the difference.
Great.
I'm not bipolar, by the way. I'm just.
So, another question I have in mind from the conversation we had the other day is about those specific challenges that happened along the way when you had to really make sacrifices when you left the Fnair. You mentioned school, and then the setbacks, because every time you took like 5 steps forward, and then sometimes you have to go back 4 steps backwards in order for you to go again on the leap. So tell us a little bit more about those and how much you've lost, sometimes financially, sometimes time-wise, and how you propelled yourself and then eventually landed where you wanted to land.
Well, when a country where there is no music industry, you know, everything you do, it's just new for them. So there is no guarantee that you get your money back, and I don't find the word. So for me, it was all about the challenge. Even I have a bad experience with the artist or in a deal or something, it doesn't stop me. I say, look, maybe this is a mistake, but I'm learning from it. I'm not gonna do it again the next time. But I will do it, and do it, and do it, and do it, and do it until I achieve that goal.
That's how you roll.
Yeah.
So just to shed some context, to put some context, I remember, I think my last conversation with Van before I left Morocco was about what he was going through with the band that he was initially part of. And I remember he was very disadvantaged in that deal, and I couldn't believe it because he made the music of the entire album and it was brilliant. I mean, yes, lyrics are important and vocals are important, but imagine an album without fantastic music. What would it be? It's impossible. So that's why I was telling you, I had goosebumps when I heard what he had achieved, because you know what it is when you invest so much time working with a band and then having to go and do it on your own. And the same thing happened with...
With Sad, with the big, with different artists. Because I'm that kind of person that I don't talk much. I'm a laid back person. I just work. That's how I am. But I let my music speak. That's always speaks. And here I am today in Dubai. You know, I'm coming from a poor neighborhood, and here I am today in Dubai, trying to do business with Sony Music and different companies. And I did some gigs all over the world. So I just let my music speaks. I just work and let my work speaks for me. I don't talk that much. I'm not here for spotlights or fame, or I'm just here for the music, you know, share my...
Your emotions.
Yeah, music. My emotions, my talent. If I call it talent, I call it hard work.
That's a very important point, because Van told me the other day, I don't believe in talent. So I really want you to hear his perspective on that.
talent alone, it doesn't make you achieve your goals. You have to work and work hard. Maybe I was born with special ears. But I don't know. I don't believe in that. I just believe in work, and have ambitions and have goals and and work for those goals. I didn't study marketing. I didn't study communication or any of that. I just learned that in the process. Just learned that with experiences. And when I produce a product, I always think about target, age, market, region, all those things that you guys call statistics, analytics, algorithms, and all that stuff. I don't just so in our world we call it street smart, but yeah, it's just experiences for me.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, when we were having the conversation, he did highlight that he spoke in, I believe, in a school to students. And everything that he said was actually textbook material, but he's never studied that textbook material. So the importance of setting goals, the importance of dedication, the importance of focus, and not relying on a God-given gift to achieve anything. And hard work, very important for Van, the hard work. So I know that you kind of, there was a leap, so you kind of achieved the initial goals. So how did you feel when you got to that? And what did you think would be the next step?
Well, the first goal, it was, I came from a hip-hop culture, urban culture. So in Morocco, as an Arabic Islamic country, it was, we were the bad guys. So in high school, when I was wearing baggies and hats and, headphones all the time, so... My teacher always, they had that bad image about me. So I said this goes. I said to myself, one day I will put hip hop in the kitchen. When I'm in the kitchen in the house, I mean, moms can listen to our to hip hop. And I did that with Fnair in 2007 with Yed Lahna album. So that was one of the goals. And the second goal is try to, my music is all about fusion and mixing our traditional folkloric music, Moroccan folkloric music, which is African music, with modern music, and try to get that out there in the world, and try to share it with the world, and it happens. So all those goals, I achieved them because of hard work, of course. And now I'm setting some goals. I'm going international. I think I did it all in Morocco. I work with different artists in different genre, and now it's time to me to try to do some international product.
Absolutely, and we have no doubt you're gonna achieve all these goals. So if we have to, I know about the challenges, what were the proudest moments for you? And what went through your mind when you were going through those moments? What went through your mind? What did you think of the moment of yourself when you were having those moments?
So, happiness, but it just, I don't express myself like happiness, like go crazy, and it's just, yeah, I did it. What's next?
Yeah. What were those moments exactly? Is it the awards? Is it the albums? What is it exactly?
No, when you meet the fans and they say you will like your music touched me. When they come to my parties or my gigs and they have a good time. Sometimes you meet parents and they told you, yeah, you are an idol for our kids. Sometimes you get some messages, texts. Now with social media, we got a lot of comments. that's I don't know, I didn't find the word, but that's
that's the pride.
Yeah, that's my pride. Yeah.
So who would be, if you would want to share with us your most ambitious goal and where you would want to get to, and what type of artists would you really would like to work with?
Well, there are so many.
Some?
As a producer, there are so many. Yeah, international artist. My goal is just to spread Moroccan sound, which is traditional instrument, traditional singing. Ethnic sound. We have so much ethnic sound in our Morocco. So much groove, so much melody, so much rhythm. So my mission, no one gave it to me, is just get that out there from Morocco and try to put it in mainstream music, because we can. I did it with different with the local artists, and I'm sure I can do it with
international artists.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think you've been such a fantastic ambassador for our country. I mean, nobody ever thought that a DJ could be on Billboard. I mean, I was in Morocco in a couple of summers back, and I see him on a Billboard, and I was like, "What? What happened here? This is amazing!" Absolutely, it was. I think there is so much to celebrate and so much to be proud of. And for you guys to really feel the talent of Van, we should definitely host a marketing society mixing event. So you can really feel it, because as you heard, his magic comes through the music and not necessarily through public speaking, although he's great on stage with me. So Khalil is here. So if you have any questions on for him or anything that you want him to answer, same thing applies to me. Please ask away. This is a good opportunity to hear from him before he becomes so big that nobody can ever speak to him in person again.
What would be your advice to young children that want to go into music?
Well, my advice, don't drop school. Don't do that.
It works for you.
Yeah, but it's a different different experience. Don't drop school. And study music. Study music business too. Study marketing and it helps, because it takes me a lot of time to understand all those things. Maybe in school they will learn that first, and you know, school is important, learning is important. As you see, my English is a little bit so learning is really important.
This show business is a pretty complex business. Mm-hmm. and you're an artist.
Yeah.
You produce. How do you go about choosing your right team or choosing the right opportunities and navigating these pretty treacherous waters to get to your goal? How did you do that? Like, how did you meet it?
Well, if we talk about team, you have to try. You work with them and try different person and freelance, of course, and you see what if he's good enough for your product, and from that you take the best one and you add it to your team, and the show business, especially in the Arab world, is a little bit, it's a big freestyle. There is no structure, and it's a little bit weird, but you know. You work with different people, and you see what's best for your product. That's how I do it. It takes it's not a waste of time. But when you find the right person, and for example, I was invited to a school in Morocco, and in a marketing communication school, and that was a girl which is she was brilliant. It becomes my manager. She is my manager now. So I took her from that. That's how I would, because there is no we don't have structure and or organization or even people who specialize in music business or show business. So you have to figure out yourself. That's the way it is.
Can you tell us what was the most difficult decision you ever made along that journey?
I was working with FNAIA for 7 years as a group, and I did the whole concept, the music, even the branding. We had T-shirt back in the day, and I had to leave the group because of personal problems. So 7 years of work and hard work and nights and days of work, and I had to drop because of that. That was hard for me because we were like brothers, and that was the complicated it affected me as a person, but it forced me as a person to, you know, to keep going by myself.
As marketers, every day there's the trade-off between short-term gain and long-term strategy. And you had to localize your music to break into other markets. What did you have to give up for the long game? And what did you have to keep for the short term?
Well, for the short term, I had to make a name for myself in my own country. That's for the short term. I have to make sure that I'm one of the best and my sound is out there before I go outside of my country. That's the long term, which what I am now, and try to be one of the international producers and try to produce international music. That's my long term. So it was.
There is another element that you told me that could answer her question. It's basically he had to give up a lot of money in order to project himself in the future, because if he was just going after the gigs and the short term, he would have lived through a lot of some of the bad experiences and partnerships just to continue making the money. But he had to give that up, right? Yeah. In order for him to continue focusing on the long term. So yes, money ended up coming, but it could have come faster earlier. But he chose not to focus only on the short term, but to keep his eye on the target. There was another question here. Yes.
I've been talking about the digital transformation happening now in the region. Do you think that artificial intelligence will be penetrating in the music industry?
Well, it's helpful because there is a lot of talent out there, especially in our region, in the Arab region, and because there is no structure, and there is no A&R, a lot of A&R, there is no label, real label. We have all labels are based in Dubai, most of them. So internet and digital world helps a lot of artists and talent to share their music and it's lucrative. It's not that big lucrative, but it's lucrative. If that answers your question.
Can I ask a quick fast question? I'm bold in front. You talked about how important local sounds were for you, rock and sounds. Are there international influences? Because, you know, hip-hop and house is an international kind of sound.
Yeah, but that's what I said. I put elements from our traditional music, ethnic sound, from Morocco or Arab region, in modern sound, which is hip-hop, house, as you can, as you said, progressive house, Afro, and different genre.
So, is there anything in particular that influences you? Like, where do you look to outside of Morocco?
Well, I came from a hip hop culture, but I'm a music fan. I love music, whatever genre it is. Good music is good music, whatever genre it is. That's how I think. That's how I resonate. If I can tell.
Any artists that inspired you in the journey?
Yeah, I have some local artists in Morocco, like a traditional artist, and I have big producers like Timbaland, Swizz Beat, if you know them. So many, Steve Aoki, if you know him. Afrojack, there is a lot of them that, you know, inspires my music.
Have you inspired by Bollywood as well? Have you gone to that?
Well,
you're like projecting yourself now. You cannot steal. Go for it.
No, I have a project with the famous star. I don't know if you know her, Nora Fatehi. So next year I have a single with her, and maybe that will be my entrance to Bollywood. I hope so.
It is happening.
Is not the business perspective. Is that in Bollywood music has a lot of instruments as well. Mm-hmm. And that's what you said, you work with a lot of melody and kind of particular. Mm-hmm. A lot of fusion can happen in terms of Indian instruments and the Moroccan instruments.
So true. That's what I'm trying to do, yeah.
I told you, you're going.
It's in my neck.
You're stealing the surprise. Okay, well, thank you so much, Khalid. Thank you so much, DJ Van.
Thank you for having me.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you.